Blog Talk Radio.
www.nawvphilly.com. For those who may want to listen later to our archives programs, please feel free to do so. We can also be contacted on Facebook and Twitter at Philly Vet. We'd like to welcome you to our show today. It's Monday, June the 13th. It's a beautiful day here in Philadelphia, and we will be discussing, among many things, a particular article that was in our local newspaper here, the Sunday Tribune. An article by Dwight Ott. It's entitled Trauma, PTSD Rates Especially High for Black Vets. We will be talking a little bit about that particularly, but we did want to preface our show with an announcement. We're going to be having a celebration in conjunction with my birthday just happened to be on that day, but we want to encourage our listeners to attend a birthday celebration, and as a veteran's benefit in Philadelphia at Mom's Kitchen Table. It's a really lovely restaurant and venue. It'll be on the outside July the 10th from 3 to 7 or somewhere within those hours. Please stop by. Support our efforts. This broadcast is costly, and we need to have your support. There's great information that's shared. And, of course, we invite all participants to call in on our guest call-in number, which is 310-388-9801. And just to begin our program here, I'd like to read a little bit about what it said. A soldier in a combat zone shared tears of despair. Many black combat veterans of post-traumatic stress disorder suffer in silence. And, you know, we talked a little bit about PTSD and a lot of other related illnesses. A lot of the related illnesses associated with serving in the military. But this article actually is about a particular soldier who actually has written a book called The Soldier's War, The Soldier's Story, And it starts by talking about this individual who, let me just read it. The flashback to Vietnam for Lorenzo, quote-unquote, Jamaica Banks, were coming fast. They were mixing with the horrors of the reality of being back home. So Banks decided to do something about it. He stepped off the Ben Franklin Bridge. His near death turned into a resurrection. He ended up getting physical treatment in a nice warm hospital bed along with mental health treatment. He went on to becoming leader of the homeless in Camden, rescuing others like him. The trials of Lorenzo Banks mirror the troubles of many veterans of Vietnam. Now officials are concerned that similar problems are hitting Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. They say suicide rates for veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan are rising at rates rivaling Vietnam. I am very interested in stories like this because depending on who tells our stories, we can hear from the various angles that the military transitioning incidences, and we can hear who is being affected. I think this article is crucial because it starts out talking about a Vietnam-era veteran. And it goes further into the story on specifics about African-Americans in particular. This is an African-American-dominated paper. It's the only African-American paper in the city of Philadelphia. But it's a very interesting article in how it talks about some of the issues that are being expressed that relate to blacks in particular and minorities. And I have always believed very early on when I started broadcasting that in the women veterans, a particular community where they actually spoke publicly, the Department of Veterans Affairs spoke publicly about how blacks were being treated. They had said that African-Americans were treated differently with regards to most of sexual trauma due to their own life circumstances, and I had challenged that. But this article speaks about African-Americans and PTSD and as it related to, I think, a position from this Vietnam-era veteran. But it also goes to talk about a Congressional Quarterly Weekly report, which says more United States servicemen committed suicide than were killed in combat last year in Afghanistan and Iraq. but 468 servicemen took their own lives, and 462 were killed in action. According to experts, this testifies to the stress on the country's military personnel after 10 years of fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq. It further states that black doctors have long complained about PTSD disorders among black veterans. Now, what's interesting about this article is that depending on who you talk to, you can get further insight into the PTSD diagnosed veterans or lack of, because it was my understanding in researching PTSD symptoms that they had not been definitive. So what we're calling PTSD, I'd like to just hear more on what that has been a further definition in this article, defining as it referenced, complained about PTSD in one of the paragraphs here. So I'd like to hear what some of those complaints would be that would help me to understand what a more medical definition has been determined, which last heard that it was inconclusive at this time, what some of those specifics were. So I am now going to use this news article as a backdrop from the angle of this Vietnam-era veteran in this story and follow-up, which I did call already the writer, Dwight Ott, just to delve a little bit further into some of the numbers that we've given here and some of the specific information as it has related to some of my knowledge and background, because I actually spoke to General Shinseki, who is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. He's part of the President Obama's appointees in the administration, and I got a chance to meet him and talk to him a little bit about the Iraq and Afghanistan specific veterans and how they are seeming to get preference, or they are noting more of the specifics as related to the illnesses and other dynamics in having them served. Because in this article, it talks about Iraq and Afghanistan soldiers being more of reservists as opposed to the Vietnam era, where they were more active duty. And they try to make a correlation between the, it seems to be the Vietnam era veterans in Iraq and Afghanistan. And one of the major distinctions was that they were more reservist views here, unlike in the Vietnam War. And it speaks about how many of these soldiers lacked the sufficient training, I think 8 to 10 weeks, and were sent into these war zones with, as I think the suggestion is, with being inadequately trained. And let me just bring up this one last point here. Lee says blacks especially are vulnerable to post-traumatic stress disorders since they are more frequently assigned to combat units. He said this happens because blacks usually have poor education, and I think it probably means, and suicides are often the result of stress diseases like post-traumatic stress disorder, often involving flashbacks as well as brain injuries from explosions. Okay. I would have loved to have seen this in more of a panel discussion, because these dynamics are somewhat a little interesting, just in comparison to some other previous information that I had gained when I spoke with General Shinseki, who is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs under the appointment of President Obama. And what was clear to me from his dialogue was that the Iraq and Afghanistan wars have allowed them to benchmark a present-day monitoring and data collection that was not done in previous wars because, and it is easier to measure. because of the time that we are in. So in comparison, we don't know what numbers were available prior to the Vietnam, World War II, Korea, and the other smaller peacetime wars, Panama, Grenada, what those numbers are, because I don't know if they've been available. Some of the other distinctions as it relates to PTSD or family-related issues. Because when I served during the Gulf War, Desert Storm, it was my understanding that the responsibility of the family was not the federal government, but it was the soldier, and that if they were married, they were given financial dollars. But I think they've gotten a little bit more involved because many of these soldiers from this war who normally would not have survived in the previous wars of Vietnam, they have more life-saving capabilities, that they're now returning home to environments that they're not necessarily prepared to take care of them. Even in the rehabilitation units, they had to develop polytrauma units, and they developed five of them in various parts of the country. Also, they had created really strong networking for families to get support in the communities and through the VA for Iraq and Afghanistan, war veterans. But these are specifically designed because of where we are in our history, and I'm not sure how much is generic towards any particular ethnicity, but certainly we need to be sensitive to any individual who believes that for any reason they have been disenfranchised or disserviced by our tax dollars for the care of veterans, because they have now the Wounded War programs. We have all types of advocacy groups that can connect you to the services. So we want to make sure that the information that we're getting is not without that understanding that we need to connect. The outreach has been a very critical part of my advocacy. We need to outreach to those veterans who believe that their services have been, for whatever reason, disconnected. And I also believe that some of our communities, our urban communities, which is not generic to a certain ethnicity, but because computers is one way that we've been using technology to promote a lot of the services that not unlike any other part of our population, but many veterans are just not using the computer for various reasons. But we have to keep encouraging that outreach is done to connect the services to these individuals who have somehow slipped through the cracks, because there are so many services out there now. There's help out there for those who want to get that service or connect it. And with homelessness is another big issue, and it may not be related to PTSD, but the veteran has to show some initiative. I think that from transitioning to the civilian world, there has been put in place this out process, as part of out processing. What is going on in that home state? There is some attempt by our federal government through the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Department of Veterans Affairs, to connect that veteran prior to him leaving the military, what resources are available to him in his home state or his local community. So as far back as the Vietnam era veterans, it's important that all previous war era veterans prior to the Iraq and Afghanistan have access to those services, as well as when those services are disproportionately preferencing or favoring Iraq and Afghanistan, that they do make some noise, because I think a lot of the advocacy and the work that was done before the Iraq and Afghanistan war even existed, the Vietnam era veterans had tremendous problems transitioning, and have been, they are owed a response to their cry for help, and their needs to be satisfied as well. And I think that we're on our way to that. Certainly in Philadelphia, we have made inroads into housing issues, transitioning with military service. I've gone to several of the meetings at the VA hospital where
They have specific workshops and forums being taught or facilitated by medical doctors there, which I knew had not existed. And I was pleased to participate or attend in the recent months some of these activities that address credit counseling, housing issues, specific PTSD, military sexual trauma, all these various issues are being addressed. You just have to get there and ask for the help. Or they stand down, will provide an awesome backdrop for assisting these individuals if they are aware. So hopefully we get a very early outreach venue started. And we're just delighted that we have this article today, because I think it's beginning to hit home. And I'm happy to that this soldier has wrote a book that is gaining some publicity, and it kind of spotlights a personal story. But guess what? You can probably hear that story from 1,000 other people. So we're just grateful that people are speaking out, telling their stories, and in a formal way, a book where it can be shared with others. And right now, we're just going to take a short break, and we'll be right with you. Thank you so much. We'd like to welcome you back to our program. This is Philadelphia, headquarters of the National Alliance of Women Veterans. This is Kathy Santos speaking. We were talking today about an article in the Philadelphia Tribune during our Women Veterans Speak Talk Blog Talk Radio program here on Sunday, June 12, 2011, where Dwight Ott of the Philadelphia Tribune, a writer, spoke about in his article, suicide and PTSD, and he has apparently interviewed individuals that have added to his comment. And we did talk about specifically African Americans or Black veterans who have stated or who have voiced some concerns about being disenfranchised and being disserviced. But so we're just grateful that we have had this type of information today, and been able to share locally some concerns about the Philadelphia veterans population and the African American specific issues related to PTSD and suicide. So we'd like to thank each one of you for joining our program today, and it's a very short program today, and we're looking forward to you joining us on our next week's program. Well, we will have some guests talking about more specific issues following up on women veterans in the country. And I think we're going to be moving forward, talking more specifically about some of the upcoming forums for the Congressional Black Caucus and other events of the National Center for Women Veterans, which is hosting their first annual summit in July from the 15th to the 17th. And you can get the details on the National Center for Women Veterans at the Department of Veterans Affairs website. If you just Google National Center for Women Veterans, you can get their information and follow up. And we're just delighted that we have a forum, a medium that we can access this type of information. I just want to talk a little bit about, I just got this email from Eleanor Schmiel. And Eleanor Schmiel is a longtime feminist and advocate. And she was very actively involved. I think she probably acted as a consultant to the military sexual trauma class action lawsuit. But they're talking here in this particular email about Saudi Arabian women. And it lends to the international focus and attention being given on the issue of women and violence against women. And this article is talking particularly about the violation of civil rights for Saudi women, who this particular woman who were arrested for driving a car. And so let me just read here this first paragraph. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has a long history of female oppression. Saudi women cannot vote. They cannot leave the country without the approval of a male guardian. Less than 50% of the kingdom's workforce is female. In the neighboring United Arab Emirates, by comparison, women make up more than half of the labor force. And Saudi Arabia is the only country in the world where women are not allowed to drive. And, you know, where we are in our history, where we are in our country, we must be mindful of our need to come together and support of each other in our causes. I think the women veterans have began over 20 years or more, my personal involvement in advocacy. We have come a long way and as Americans. But we have been touched. These women have gone to other countries, Iraq women and Afghanistan women, and these women have joined in a international effort. Saudi Arabia, a lot of the Middle Eastern women understand that there's been various forums through the United Nations held by women who have brought these issues to the forefront, things that we would never have known about. So we would like to support the women of Saudi Arabia. This particular email from Eleanor Schmill, we would like to support their effort. And there's a women's drive rally at the Saudi Embassy on Wednesday. And you can get more information on YouTube at Home for Saudi Arabia Women, Saudi Women, excuse me. Just Google Saudi Arabia Women, and I'm sure you can get more information. So we want to thank our leaders, such as Eleanor Schmill, whose shoulders we stand in our advocacy work. I mean, she just being a pioneer in the women's movement, I think back in the 1960s, that just we had a chance to meet. I found certain empowerment in my having to dialogue with her and to talk with her. And Terry O'Neill from National Organization for Women, and Kim Gandy, who I met, and she was very instrumental several years ago, combining me with the En-ROADS to advocate when I knew of no one else out there that could help with the women veterans. But Kim Gandy, who was the president of National Organization for Women at that time, Terry O'Neill, who is now, these organizations have been very, very instrumental in helping bring women issues to the forefront, addressing violence against women and inequality in women's rights. So we'd like to thank you for joining our show today. It was a short program. Please look for more on women veterans in the upcoming weeks, and invite those who are listening. All are welcome. Sunday, July the 10th, my birthday and benefit for women veterans. We will have an outside venue coming together, just partying on a Sunday afternoon in the venue at Mom's Kitchen Table, 2317 and 19 Ridge Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please check our website, download a flyer. Call me if you need an invitation. Come anyways. Don't be shy. All are welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will look forward to hearing from all of you on our next week's show.